This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Very shortly, we're going to be speaking with the police. I like to say the police. Oh, yes. That's Dusty Springfield harmonising there in French.
Oh, she's clever.
She is.
She lived in France or something for a while, didn't she?
Or
Germany or something.
No, I think she... Oh, it might have been Holland.
Oh, well, yeah, close.
Close. On the continent.
Exactly.
On the continent, yes, yes. That's all we need. Joy 94.9 and you're listening to Saturday Magazine with Leanne and Carol.
And this week in our In Focus segment, we're going to look at same-sex relationship violence. A new relationship family bill has been passed, and we're going to talk with Scott Davis, who's the manager of the Gay and Lesbian Advisory Unit for Victoria Police, with Claire Rowan and Claire Lindsay-Johns, who are Victoria Police Family Violence Unit Policy Officers, and with Christina Antonadis, who's a family law court lawyer. So welcome to you all.
Thank you.
I don't know a lot about this new act that was a bill, but we know that it's got implications across full community, families in particular, and perhaps some implications for same-sex relationships and partnerships as well. So could one of you perhaps give us a bit of a rundown about why this new act has come in place and what did we have before and what was wrong with it maybe?
Yes, no, I'll start with that.
Okay.
It's Claire one.
We'll get Claire one in.
Yeah, there is two Claires.
two Claires. So we're a little bit, because we've got four people plus the two of us in here, we are a little bit short on microphone sort of space. So we might just have that little bit of a gap for our listeners if you're kind of thinking, why are they taking so long? Because people are going to have to kind of move across to microphones.
And we're going to fight amongst each other to speak as well. So we're pushing out of the way.
Well, if they're anything like Scott or his predecessor, and Melinda Edwards, well,
they'll be talking the whole time.
They'll just keep talking.
I'm sitting as far back as I can.
Claire, okay, yes. Off you go.
So we're currently operating under the Crimes Family Violence Act, which was from 1987. So it's 21 years old now, so it's really getting quite on. And in 2002, the Attorney General referred a review of the family violence legislation to the Victorian Law Reform Commission, and it really is really come up to speed with where the community is in terms of the way we recognise family violence and the way in which we respond to incidents of family violence. So the Crimes Family Violence Act by default often became used to obtain intervention orders in neighbourhood disputes and other conflicts and wasn't being used specifically for family violence.
Oh. So for neighbours fighting over the fence being built.
That's exactly right.
And was that because there was no law that really was specific to them?
Yes, possibly. And it does have provisions for stalking type orders, but the Law Reform Commission found through their reviews that it was very important to have a specific law to respond to family violence and make it that significant community issue that family violence is. So, and running alongside it, so that was in 2002, and running alongside it, we have had quite a large shift in the Victorian government in the way that we respond to family violence. There's been large financial investment from the government in service provision, and we've really set up the integrated family violence system is what it's called now, and it's integrated between police, courts and service providers. Police in 2004 created the code of practice for the investigation of family violence, and that's changed quite substantially the way Victoria Police have responded to family violence and provides a framework for which they do that. So simple things like we refer, every time they attend an incident, they refer victims and perpetrators to agencies for support and things like that.
So in a sense what you're saying is that there's a lot more cooperation between various agencies.
Definitely is. Yeah. So it's really trying to make a far more seamless process for victims, so it's not quite so traumatic and not having to relive stories all the time.
And hopefully the good thing out of that is that the reoffending is stopped, so we break that cycle of violence that we're able to
picked up.
Yeah, that's right. So it's the police are doing that emergency intervention stuff, but then we're relying on other service providers to do the work behind the scenes to be able to either help the relationship, you know, smooth down and get back together, or maybe help them move in separate directions.
So at one stage, I guess a lot of the other agencies wouldn't have even known about certain offenders. Everybody had their own database. and it was never cross-referenced.
Yes, operating a bit in isolation. Yeah. So it's trying to shift that. Mm. And it has been very successful. And this is the new legislation, the Family Violence Protection Act, is probably the next step in that, and our laws reflecting the way in which the service system is operating.
So what's new? What's new, yes, in this law?
So we have a new definition of family violence, which is quite significant. There wasn't really a clear definition in the Crimes Family Violence Act. So it provides definitions of obviously physical abuse, also emotional and psychological, economical abuse, threatening and coercive behaviour. And significantly for the GLBTI community, there's an example in the Act of emotional or psychological abuse, which is basically the threatening to out a person's sexual orientation, and the way in which that places significant emotional stress on somebody. So that's the type of changes we've got in the definition. Mm. We've also got a broader definition of family member, so that's been expanded substantially to take into account all spouses and domestic partners. It's inclusive of all relationships, regardless of gender or sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. Family-like relationships, which include relationships where people are acting in a family-like capacity, whether it's actually blood relative or not.
So that could take in cultural differences, where exactly, there's much more of an extended
certainly
family.
Certainly cultural is a perfect example of that. Indigenous communities, kinship relationships.
Carers
as well. Yeah, Claire could probably talk about that a little bit more later on.
Aren't but you,
yeah,
Claire?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Claire too. Yeah, the other one. We're the duo. But, yes, and for Victoria Police, substantially, we have the introduction of family violence safety notices. So they're a power for police when they respond to incidents out of hours, or after hours, mm-hmm, and on weekends, which is largely really the peak period for Victoria Police for responding to incidents of family violence. They'll be able to issue a safety notice, which provides immediate protection for victims. It's valid for a 72-hour period, so it will return to court within 72 hours for a court to make decisions on continuation of protection if required.
Sorry, Claire, to interrupt. Normally, usually in other circumstances, you would have to wait till 9 o'clock in the morning for a judge or someone.
Yeah, so we would normally, there are processes that exist currently through the after hours magistrate court service, and they will still exist. This is really just an additional tool to allow police to respond more quickly and
about
effectively.
Do what you need to do.
That's right, straight away. So, I mean, there are situations where we won't be able to use the safety notice for children, for example, under 18s. Mm-hmm. We won't be able to use safety notices for, and there is quite a substantial increase of perpetration of violence by young people towards their parents. And also we would still seek the court's assistance in those matters continuing. Mm-hmm. There's also the safety notices itself, police have to apply to a sergeant or above, so it is quite a powerful tool and one that we take very seriously.
So you just you can't do it under every circumstance.
No.
It actually has to be reviewed,
right,
that it's appropriate.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yes.
Go on.
Oh,
no,
sorry.
No, I'm going to have a break.
All right. Okay, so if we move on to the more specifically the GLBTI community, what are we looking at there in terms of? You go on to that microphone,
okay.
Claire too. What are the things that perhaps are more specific to there, or what differences is it going to make for this community?
Well, as the Act mentioned, as Claire mentioned, sorry, not the Act. The Act, of course, covers any family-like relationship or family relationship. So members of the GLBTI community will, of course, fit into that definition quite a lot of the time. There are some key issues which we know members will have in terms of, Claire has talked about the inclusion of a specific example under emotional and psychological abuse. And that's quite important, I think, not just to put it in the Act, but to say to members of our broader community and to police and to, of course, members of the GLBTI community, we recognise that threatening to out someone is a form of family violence. We recognise the severity of it, and therefore it is included explicitly in the Act. So, you know, as a human rights issue, we are recognising it. Probably some of the bigger issues for GLBTI families will be the recognition of the paramount importance of children. Children in this Act, whether you are a heterosexual couple or a same-sex couple, remain the key focus. Mm. So children are considered victims if they witness family violence directly or indirectly, and the Act expands on how family violence affects children in terms of it's behaviour by a person that causes a child to hear or witness or otherwise be exposed to family violence. That includes things like comforting a parent who has been part of a family violence incident, cleaning up the mess after a family violence incident. They may be in their bedrooms and they may have heard something, and that's still considered family violence, even to the point of children being present when police attend after a physical assault has occurred. They're all recognised now as having a severe impact on children. We've had more and more research come out over the past couple of decades signifying the impact of family violence on children, and this Act really seeks to explicitly recognise that. Probably the other key issue for same-sex couples and the GLBTI community more broadly is the issue of carers. Carers are recognised in the Act in that they may fall within the family relationship. The Claire talked about family-like relationships. There is the issue of the paid carer relationship compared to the unpaid carer relationship, and we think it's more likely that the unpaid carers will fall into that family-like definition. A paid carer may be more likely to have a commercial agreement for services rented.
So it might be more industrial sort of relations.
Exactly, and would be covered under that. Whereas we're looking in particular at unpaid carers, a care relationship may actually morph from a different relationship, and that's probably quite important for people in the GLBTI community, because they may have started out as housemates, or there may have been an intimate relationship or some other form of cohabitation, I guess, and for whatever reason, a person's, you know, ageing, or they've got sick for some reason, or they've got quite a severe illness, and one person has taken on more of that care load, really, and it's turned into a relationship of dependence or interdependence. So the Act talks about the form of dependence and interdependence between the people. It talks about the provision of responsibility and care, and it doesn't matter if it's paid or unpaid, but as we said, unpaid's more likely to fall into that. We talk about the kind of sustenance, the kind of support, and the kind of relationship. So it will be case by case as to what it may be.
I suppose the good thing about having this sort of these various types of relationships acknowledged is that if you did have a couple who were in a gay or lesbian relationship of some sort but didn't particularly want to out themselves to the police or anyone else, you've still got other types of relationships that would probably cover it.
Absolutely.
If they were, you know, even if it wasn't the typical domestic relationship of a couple.
That's exactly. Right. And I mean, we have been quite clear in saying that an intimate relationship is not a sexual relationship.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's very important to recognise that a carer relationship may be quite broad in terms of it may cover forms of elder abuse when people are elderly and they may not be in that intimate relationship, but they do live together and there is that provision of informal care and support. So that's probably quite a key issue. We've been working with the police reference group we have, which Scott sits on, and there's quite a few members of agencies who provide support to the community, looking at how we educate our members when they turn up to events to recognise this kind of relationships and to look at the situation a bit more broadly than what we may have done in the past. There's going to be a review of the code of practice next year. So that will a lot more work will be put into with that reference group and with Scott, looking at, well, what can we put in our code of practice to clarify the situation for members a bit more and to assist with people when we turn up. We want to give people the best possible response we can, and that includes recognising their living arrangements, whatever they are, within the definition of family member.
So every officer would need that training.
Absolutely.
Presumably.
So in terms of Victoria Police, has the Chief Commissioner's committed to training all operational members in the new Act. We've been training them since August. It's been force-wide. So we have been rolling it out to approximately, I think, 7,000 members.
Yeah, between 6,000 and 7,000, I think.
Have you two been involved in doing that?
We have. We didn't write the training package. The training package was put together with Bioeducation Department in consultation with stakeholders like Scott. And we've been involved in going around and seeing how it's been received. And probably the important thing to note about the training package is quite a new step for police in terms of it looks at the highly technical provisions of the Act, like the safety notice, the definitions, and other changes, but it is working a lot more now on the context of family violence, the recognition of the different forms of family, the different situations police may find when they turn up. Mm. Even simple things, for example, if you turn up to a house and you have two men living in a house, instead of assuming they're housemates, actually ask what is the nature of a relationship. You know, having the confidence and having the tools to make those assessments and make sure people get the right outcomes when you turn up. The training program's been supported by an internal communications campaign. So you've got the education component, but then we've got information, news articles, making sure everyone in the organisation knows what's going on, support materials for members, and that will include information from Scott, frequently asked questions, reading material, things that will help members be more educated in making these decisions.
Sounds very comprehensive.
It is. Mm. And, of course, the reference groups recognise, you know, the need for ongoing education in this area as things change. So we hope that it will assist members and we hope it will assist the community. But it is a comprehensive package, so we hope we've done our best.
That sounds good.
At this point in time.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine and we're speaking with Claire, Scott and Christina, although we've really only done Claire and Claire so far. But perhaps we'll do Scott and Christina very shortly.
Yeah, after the...
It's Saturday Magazine with Leanne and Carol.
And our In Focus segment this week, we're looking at the Family Violence Protection Act and in particular what it means for GLBTI communities. And joining us, we have two members from the Victorian Police Family Violence Unit, Claire Owen and Claire Lindsay Johns, Claire, and Christina Antonatis, who's a family law court lawyer, and Sergeant Scott Davis, manager of the Gay and Lesbian Advisory Unit with the Victoria Police. And Scott, Claire, before the music break, touched on the police reference group that you're a member of. Can you tell us a bit more about that and what it means in relation to the Act, and particularly GLBTI community?
Okay. We've got it's called the Victoria Police Gay and Lesbian Liaison Reference Group, and it came from work that was done by the Equal Opportunity Commission and Victoria Police back in about 1999. We set up a partnership between police and the Equal Opportunity Commission, and that was specifically about introducing gay and lesbian liaison officers to Victoria, and it was about establishing a mechanism to record prejudice-motivated homophobic crime, racist crime, religious crime, those sorts of things. From that, there became a need to set up a committee that was specifically had representation from the GLBTI community that advised Victoria Police on how we ran our gay and lesbian liaison officer program. So we've currently got 11 community groups that meet on a bi-monthly basis with the superintendent in charge of the Community and Diversity Division, and we have representatives from the Also Foundation, from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, the Also Foundation, from the Rainbow Network, so we've got representative young people, from the Queer Multicultural Council, from people living with HIV AIDS, and there's probably a couple of others that I've forgotten there as well. So we're trying to get a really good cross-section from the community to advise police on how we best provide services for the gay and lesbian community. And one of the things that we've been doing recently is we've acknowledged that the new Family Violence Protection Act is coming into place, and we wanted police to be able to... we wanted the community to know, first of all, that the police could respond to same-sex domestic violence or relationship violence, and we also needed to make sure that the community were ready for it. So the two Claires have come along and done a presentation for the reference group, and then we actually have met, aside from that, a few times as well, to be able to ensure that information is out to the right people within the community. So that's been a really great thing. And look, can I just say that from the Family Violence Unit, they're probably leading the whole of government in regards to ensuring that same-sex relationship violence is looked at as part of this new Protection Act. They've really been pushing and striving to ensure that the whole of government is responding, and Victoria Police, through the Family Violence Unit, are leading that. And that's caused people like them from the Department of Justice to get in contact with the Also Foundation to ensure that there is inclusion of same-sex relationship violence in the provisions that come out within the new Act. And I know just recently that the Department of Justice have contacted Lynn Morgane at Also to ensure that within the new website that will be coming online shortly in regards to family violence, that there are inclusion of stories from the gay and lesbian community about the types of relationship violence that exist and how that can be best resolved. So there's some really good outcomes from the work that's being led here by our Victoria Police Family Violence Unit.
So there's education on both sides of the fence, if you
Absolutely.
Like
yeah, yeah, exactly right. And you'll see, we've obviously here today, we've got putting out information through Joy, which is really important. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you'll see something in the papers fairly soon as well. We'll put together some stuff to send out.
Sounds like an enormous task.
It has been an enormous task. I'm in absolute awe of what the Family Violence Unit have done. This new legislation has, you know, been created by Parliament and basically lobbed on police and a whole range of other services, and they've gone, go ahead, you know, just do it.
Yeah.
And that's not an easy task, and these people have been working extremely hard. We set up an internal working group, which a whole range of different diverse groups were able to be involved in, people from the Aboriginal community, from the culturally and linguistically diverse Cold community, and the GLBTI community through myself had representation on that committee. So it's been a mammoth task in a real short space
easy.
Of time.
I imagine there'd be a few barriers and a few hurdles to get over.
There certainly is.
Attitude change is always a very difficult thing to try and achieve.
It is. And, you know, the really positive thing that's come out of this, and I know that the two Clares have given me feedback, that they're going out to rural and regional areas in Victoria to see some of the training that police are doing. And the police members that are running the training out in those areas are specifically using examples of same-sex relationship violence. And they've done that off their own bat.
Fantastic.
There was inclusion within the training package of information about same-sex relationship violence, but they've gone and found their own examples to use within that training package. So that's really encouraging.
It speaks well, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Fabulous. Christina.
Yes.
Quietly sitting there listening to all this.
Yes,
we've got so many people in the studio today. It's just quite amazing. Now, Christina, you're a family lawyer.
Yes.
So can you give us a bit of an idea of what this Relationships Act means? What does that mean for same-sex couples? Give us a rundown.
Okay, the Relationships Act, as you mentioned earlier in your program, becomes operative on Monday, 1st of December. So essentially what
can
this...
Can I interrupt? Does this kind of all tie in a sense, together?
It does.
You mean, is there a plan?
Well,
hey. Why have we moved suddenly to Relationship Act?
No, but when I say, does it tie in together, is it just a coincidence, or has it been planned so that, you know, there's a more good definition of same-sex relationships, for example, as at the same time as we're suddenly talking about relationships violence and what do we do about it? Well, is this how we identify what a relationship is? Has it all been planned, or is it just coincidence?
I think it has. The Family Violence Protection Act, actually the definition of a domestic partner, they refer to the Relationships Act. So it is all tied in, yes. So this has to become operative before the Family Violence Protection Act, or simultaneously to ensure that you have that definition.
The right definition. Right.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. So in terms of the Relationships Act, we're looking at, a major turning point. You can register relationships. You can enter into what we call what's called relationship agreements. Now, they are what people would normally know as prenups, okay? So you're insured financially, I guess a bit of protection in case your relationship breaks down. For the first time, same-sex couples are able to be eligible for, it used to be called spousal maintenance, obviously, in married couples, but it's maintenance. So if you're in a long-term relationship, your partner earns significantly more, you have maybe been the primary caregiver to the children, you've got a number of children, you haven't been able to work as a result of that, what that means is that if the relationship breaks down, they look at things such as, can you support yourself? Can the children, are they able to have the same sort of life? And what needs to be adjusted in order for that to occur? The other major difference in terms of property division is we now have what we refer to as future needs factors. So things such as if you do have children, if you're older than your partner, if you can't work, if you have a disability, all of those things come into, come into play so that when it comes to dividing property, the court may give you an adjustment in your favour, whereas in the past it was purely financial contributions.
Mm-hmm. And Christina, my understanding from the reading of the Act is that you don't have to register your relationship for those sorts of provisions to come into force.
Not at all. Look, to register your relationship, it's very interesting. You can register a relationship even if you're not living together. So, and there is no time period. You could start dating someone, think this is the best thing in the world, 3 months in, 2 weeks in, whatever, go and register that agreement. Don't have to be living together. And the implications of doing that, obviously all of these things come into play straight away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you wait and think, well, I'm not going to register my relationship, the only time that becomes operative if you're living together for 2 years. So it's, look, I guess the concern, or our concern as lawyers and as part of the community as well, is that we're going to have a lot of people come Monday lining up and possibly registering their relationship and having not
thought about it,
got any legal advice.
Of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there is a 28-day cooling off period, which is quite interesting.
You know, I don't like you now.
Yeah.
I think they should give them that for marriage, don't you?
Yeah.
I think marriage should have a 20-day cooling off
period?
There's
a cooling off period for divorce. So
my relationship's in a 23-year cooling off period. We're still yet to determine whether we're going to get married or not.
It's a very long one-night stand.
It is, yeah. Still not certain.
Oh, dear.
So how does – we talked a little bit of how the register applies to, I guess, the Family Violence Protection Act. In legal terms, does that mean anything different for family law, the new act?
It does. At the moment, all same-sex relationships are being legislated through state courts, mm-hmm. which means you've got judges and I guess, judicial officers who are – not familiar with family law matters, whereas the family court is a specialised court. They deal with these matters every day, and it, you know, when family law, it should only go to a family court. It should not be legislated through the state courts. Mm. So it's going to be a massive thing for the community, and one which, you know, we shouldn't take lightly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So for those people who perhaps have been in long-term relationships mm-hmm. and who may have had, a statutory declaration and wills in each other's favour, mm-hmm. Which I think a lot of sort of fairly sensible people might have done just to ensure that everything was recognised should anything happen to them. That can just stay in place if they want to. There's nothing, they don't have to do something different or register something else. And those statutory declarations will still hold as much water as they ever have done.
Look, they will, in terms that it is a stat dec, but in terms of the court, I think it would have more weight if the relationship was registered. Having said that, though, if they have been in a long-term relationship, they're automatically going to be recognised as a domestic
right.
as a domestic couple.
Even if it's not registered.
If it's not registered. They just have to be the two-year period. Mm. Otherwise, if they don't live together, then they have to register their relationship. Mm. So we're going to see some interesting things.
I've got a question probably for Scott. We've talked about violence in same-sex relationships. How prevalent, I know it's hard to gauge, do you gauge that it is?
I think it's as representative in the gay community as it is in the heterosexual community. Private Lives, which was done by Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria and was released in 2006, certainly showed that it's at the same sort of level as it is in the heterosexual community. I think unfortunate thing is that it's underreported to mm-hmm. police. Certainly Private Lives talked about only about 10% of relationship violence, same-sex relationship violence, mm-hmm. is reported to police. And, you know, there's a whole lot of reasons for that, and a lot of that is about mistrust of police, and hopefully mm-hmm. over time we're changing some of that, and certainly our gay and lesbian liaison officers are in place to be able to ensure that we are treating the community appropriately. Mm-hmm. I suppose while we're also talking about research, on Thursday there'll be a new report that comes out from Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria called Coming Forward, which will be launched by the Chief Commissioner of Police, Christine Nixon, mm-hmm. and that's really going to talk about same-sex relationship violence, and it will also talk about heterosexist violence that occurs in the community. And for police, it's going to be a really important piece of research to enable us to look at what resources are required to assist this community, the GLBTI community, in ensuring that there's a reduction in heterosexist violence and there's support available for it.
I mean, the Prime Minister came out during the week and said about, what do you call it, the silent crime or whatever, particularly talking about abuse against women. So it's obviously something that's on national agenda and should be. Then obviously something more happening in Victoria as well.
Absolutely.
Can we tell people who are interested in perhaps going to this?
Absolutely.
Event? It's again, Lesbian Health Victoria is launching Coming Forward, the underreporting of heterosexist violence and same-sex partner abuse, and it's going to be launched by the Chief Commissioner of Police, Christine Nixon, on Thursday, 4th of December, between 4 and 6 p.m. at La Trobe University City Campus, which is at 215 Franklin Street in the city. And you can RSVP to Melanie Hales on 9285 5382 or m.hales@latrobe.edu if you're interested.
And I'm sure that the report will be on the Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria's clearinghouse website, glhv.org.au, from Thursday, I would imagine. Yeah.
Guys, it's been
fabulous having you all here. It's we've never had such a full studio.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.